Chapter 46, The Homecoming. Zerubbabel is a heavy-sounding name to us with nothing to charm our fancy, but not so to the exiles in Babylon. It was the name of the prince of Judah who was to lead them back to Jerusalem. Babylon had fallen, and Cyrus of Persia became the great monarch. Hebrew prophets had foretold this event when their captivity would be ended, and the children of Judah, scattered throughout Babylon, would be called together and sent on their journey home to Jerusalem. It is said that Cyrus was no stranger to Hebrew prophecy, and that it pleased him to be called the nation's deliverer. At any rate, he soon set about to earn the distinction. The decree was published throughout all the Jewish colonies that the king would grant liberty and freedom from tribute to all who would return to Judah. He had already appointed a leader and granted them a strong guard for protection on the way. More than a half a century before this time, Jehoiakim, the 18-year-old king of Judah, was taken captive and carried away to Babylon. Zerubbabel, the leader appointed by Cyrus, was a grandson of this captive king. He was thus a connecting link between the two periods. The Jews did not all hail with joy this promise to return. The land of captivity had become their home. Those who came from Jerusalem were nearly all dead, and their children were content as they were. The native country of song and story and of vague rumors did not appeal to them. In the sad lamentations which their parents had chanted, they learned that it was desolate, only a wilderness of ruined cities. The splendors of Babylon and Chaldea were much more to their liking. Only those who loved country and religion better than ease and security made preparations for the uncertain journey. The rebuilding of the temple was the great magnet which drew them back to their native land. Cyrus made clear in his message that it was for this purpose that he would have them return, and the Jew knew not how to worship without a temple. All the Jews were asked to help. The heads of the families and the priests visited all the Jewish colonies and received the freewill offerings. There were vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts and with precious things. A most touching scene took place at this time. The splendid vessels of gold and silver which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple at Jerusalem and carried to Babylon to be placed in the temples of his gods were given back to the Jews by Cyrus. He had his treasurer bring them out of the heathen temple and gave them into the keeping of Zerubbabel, prince of Judah. It was a ceremony of form, as the vessels were all numbered. There were no less than 5,400 vessels of gold and silver. What memories would the sight of those sacred objects bring up to the devout old Jews? They were all that was left of the holy temple. With them was associated the long, wearisome journey into captivity in a strange country. But how few of those who came out with those treasures would be returning with them to the vine-covered ruins of the temple. The Jews made their preparations with system. A census was taken of those who volunteered to return, and each one had to be strictly identified in the family register. Those who could not thus show their names were regarded with suspicion. It was the desire to have only true Jews in this company. When the census was complete, it was found that 42,360 stood ready to go on this dangerous journey. Besides these, there were 7,337 servants. When the caravan started out, the attention of all Babylon was arrested. We feel sure there was fear among the Jews who left and those who remained, and it would be interesting to know how many who departed left a way open for a return if they so desired. Those who had passed over this route years before must have seen landmarks all along the way, which revived old memories. There, a relative or friend had been buried, perhaps. Farther along, they had rested on the journey, where a bubbling spring made a green spot in the green desert. On those high hills, just above the horizon, an army of desert robbers had been seen watching them, but they had been fearful to attack them on account of the strength of the Jews. Such memories would come to those who had been young in those days, and perhaps they had wondered then why their elders were so downcast. It had been rather a novelty to them to be taken to famous Babylon, about which they had heard such wonderful tales. Now they had lived their lives in Babylon, and their only wish was to see Jerusalem, the city of their fathers, before they died. When they came to Judah, how they must have strained their eyes to catch the first sight of their native land and of Jerusalem. No matter where they belonged in Judah, the high seat of all interest was this city. Matters were not as they expected them to be. They knew exactly where their family possessions lay, but they did not find them waiting for their occupancy. Some of them were held by the Jews who had been left and had survived all disasters, and others had been taken by their old unfriendly neighbors. Only the most worthless land had been left. The Jews could show their old titles, but what did those half-barbarians care for old Hebrew titles? A far greater weight, though, was the authority of Cyrus. They were all vassals of his, and he had sent those Jews back to take possession of their father's estates. The confusion was great. Some of those who had taken possession without a right left for their own country, while in other cases, the young men who had come in large numbers were glad to settle their claims by marrying the daughters of the family so well established. This led to a greater trouble in later times. The land was a picture of desolation, for the ground had only been half-tilled. The vineyards, formerly well-kept, were trailing around in confusion. Many of the springs were choked up with weeds and debris washed down in freshets. Everything spoke of decay and years of neglect. It was a tremendous work that those order-loving Jews found awaiting them after they had secured their old estates, and discouragement spread from town to town. Their number was so small, and the work was so large. To add to their distress, a period of drought followed, and want became common. Like the Israelites of old, who thought with regret of the flesh pots in Egypt, these must have remembered the abundance and luxury of rich Babylon. The wonder is that they did not all start out on a return to the land of their captivity.